and that you would open your word. And that even tonight, Lord, as we just kind of get introduced to David and to this series that we're doing, Lord, that you touch our hearts, speak to us. And so that each one of us can take something and apply it to our lives, and that we would already begin to be changed and to become more of a woman after your heart. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so becoming a woman after God's own heart. Don't you want to be a woman after God's own heart? Don't you want that said about you? I do. I want that said about me. David, who was king, and he was the sweet psalmist over Israel. He was referred to twice in the Bible as a man after God's own heart. And as we study and we learn from his life this year, we're going to learn what made him that man, that the Lord would call him that, and what it means to have a heart after the Lord. But we need to get a little background so we have context in this. So if you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13, we're going to get to that in a minute. But there was a point in time in the children of Israel where the judges ruled over them. And there was a point in time that they no longer wanted a judge, but they wanted a king. They wanted a man. The judges would seek the Lord. Well, they were appointed by God. They would seek the Lord. He would use them to deliver his people, to direct his people spiritually. And that all took faith. It took faith on the part of the judge, and it took faith on the children of Israel to be a nation that is led by spiritual leaders and no government structure or that, but just people listening to the Lord. That takes faith. And it seems that they were maybe a little tired of that, and they wanted a man. They wanted to look at a man and see a man. They said, "Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations." They wanted to be like everybody else. They wanted to have this man that had a robe and a crown, and so that they could maybe feel important. God gave them their request, and Saul became the first king over Israel. Samuel was the last judge, and Saul began well as king, and even before he was king, because Samuel, as he was told by the Lord that to anoint Saul as king, as Saul was out trying to find the lost sheep of his father, he met Samuel. Samuel invited him to a feast and said to him that all the desire of Israel was on him. Now, that made Saul very uncomfortable. He was a humble man at that time. And his response was, "Who am I? Who am I that you would say this?" And then even when he was anointed king, and then Samuel was going to proclaim him and introduce him to the people as king, they couldn't find Saul because he was hiding. He was uncomfortable with all that. He was hiding. He had a good beginning, a humble beginning, but it wasn't too much. It didn't take too much time for things to go south. So I'm just going to read for context in chapter 13. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose for himself 3,000 men of Israel. 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the mountains of Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. The rest of the people he sent away, every man to his tent. Jonathan attacked the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. Then Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." Now all Israel heard it and said that Saul had attacked the garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel had also become an abomination to the Philistines, and the people were called together to Saul at Gilgal. Then the Philistines gathered together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and the people as sand, which is on the seashore, in multitude. And they came up and encamped in Michmash to the east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in danger, for the people were distressed, then the people hid in caves, in thickets, in rocks, and holes, and in pits. And some of the Hebrews crossed over to the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Then he waited 7 days, according to the time set by Samuel. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, "Bring a burnt offering and a peace offering here to me." And he offered the burnt offering. Now it happened, as soon as he had finished presenting the burnt offering, that Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him, that he might greet him. And Samuel said, "What have you done?" Saul said, "When I saw that the people were scattered from me and that you did not come within the days appointed and the Philistines gathered together at Michmash, then I said, the Philistines will come down on me at Gilgal, and I have not made supplication to the Lord. Therefore, I felt compelled and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." In the context of David being called a man after God's own heart, it's within the context of Saul's disobedience. Saul disobeyed again in chapter 5, verse 1. I'll read there. "Samuel also said to Saul, 'The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go, attack Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey.'" And then in verse 7, Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is the east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroyed. So once again, Saul simply disregarded the command of the Lord, and he just did what he wanted to do. Saul was a man who he did not trust the Lord. He feared man over fearing God. And Saul also had an excuse every time he was confronted with his disobedience or with his sin. It was never his fault. It was always someone else's fault. So obedience is very important to the Lord. For him to place that verse in there, that he has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and that he had found him, in the context of Saul's disobedience, we see that obedience is extremely important to the Lord. Now, at the time that Samuel spoke those words to Saul, David was a very young man. He was anywhere from 15, 16, 17 years old, very young. And he was a shepherd. He was just shepherding his father's sheep. And so I just think, well, wow, if God's saying that he sought for a man after his own heart, this young man already has a heart that the Lord sees and knows is an obedient heart. Because he was obedient in all of those normal daily tasks. Here he was, just the youngest. He had all these brothers. He's the youngest and he's just a shepherd. But if his father said, I want you to take the sheep there, David would take the sheep there. I want you to do this, then David would do that. He had shown an obedient heart. God saw his heart and knew that it was after his heart. David is the one who wrote later in life, Psalm 139, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up, and you understand my thoughts from afar off. God sees, he knows. This young man, God sees, and he knows what's in every single heart. He knows what we are, and he knows what we will become when he works in our lives, and we allow him to work in our lives. So at that time, David wasn't this, incredible, great man. He was a young boy who had a heart for God in those little areas that God could look in and see, because he knows all things. And I take comfort in that, in knowing he knows who I am, but he knows who I will be. So by the time we finish this series, next May, he already knows who we're going to be next May, what he's going to work in our lives to make us have a heart after his. And I don't know if that encourages you. It encourages me, because sometimes I can look at myself and just go, yuck. There's just so much of me in there. I can't remember which one of them were saying that. There's just so much of me in there. But God sees and he knows. And he knew David's heart at that time. And he knew what David would become with God working in his life. And he knew that he would let him work in his life. David had been obedient in the small things. And the small things matter. They matter to God. David was obedient to the Lord and faithful and loyal to the Lord when no one was looking. When he was out in those fields and it was him and the sheep. God sees. And David was faithful and obedient and loyal to him in private. Because what he was in private, he was also in public. A lot of us have two different lives. We would never yell at our children in the grocery store, but we yell at them at home. God sees it all. And he saw David out in the field and he knew his heart. David's obedience is mentioned by God many times in his words. It just when God does that, you just know it's important to him. After David had reigned as king and he died in 1 Kings 11, God says, however, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand because I have made him ruler all the days of his life for the sake of my servant David, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. The Lord said, I chose him because he kept my commandments and my statutes. And then again, go tell Jeroboam, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because I exalted you from among the people and made you ruler over my people Israel and tore the kingdom away from the house of David, that's when Israel split, and gave it to you, and yet you have not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart to do only what was right in my eyes. This is what he speaks of David, what he thinks of him. And then again, he walked, speaking of Jeroboam, he walked, or Jeroboam, or some Jeroboam or some guy after that, and I didn't write it down, so I don't know his name. As he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem by setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not turned aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Obedience is important to the Lord. Saul, he obeyed when it was convenient for him. And when it wasn't convenient for him, he just disregarded. He just took it so lightly. He just disregarded the commands of the Lord. Samuel was late. He didn't show up. Okay, I'm not supposed to offer the sacrifice, but he's not here. I'll just do it. Doesn't matter. The God says, I want you to utterly destroy the Amalekites. Kill everybody. Don't keep anything for yourself. Well, I'm going to let the king live. Why should I kill these good sheep? They're good sheep. They're good, you know, good qualities. This is good for us. He just disregarded those commands of the Lord. And each day in our normal daily tasks, just as David out was a shepherd, we are who we are, and we serve in our homes or we serve outside of our homes or, you know, we do the things that we do. Each and every day, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. All day long, he speaks to us. And he gives us commands to obey. Do you realize that? He's speaking to you. He's speaking to me. These little things. And sometimes we need to learn to hear his voice. But we need to learn to take heed to his voice. But let me give you just a few, just very everyday examples. As we can go through the day, the Holy Spirit can say to us, you need to write a note to Sally Sue. Or you need to email her to encourage her. You need to text her. You need to phone her. How many times do we hear that? And we may not hear, you need to do that, but you, Sally Sue, comes to your mind. Oh, I should email her. It's the Holy Spirit, and he's speaking to us. Or the Holy Spirit can say, turn that off. Go pick up your Bible and read instead. Or go read your devotional book. Or go do your homework. The Holy Spirit can even say to you and to me, you need to clean your house. You need to start dinner. Or you've been on Facebook a little too long. Or don't say that. Don't say that. It's the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And these are the things that nobody else sees, but the Lord sees. And how do I respond to those? And these are the things that we can disregard very easily, just like Saul did, and have an excuse just like Saul did. He always had an excuse. He had a reason for his disobedience. He blamed the circumstances. We can blame the circumstances. Well, if I didn't have all this laundry to do, I could call her. But I have all this laundry to do. He blamed the people. It's the people, they wanted me to spare the sheep and the oxen. Well, we could say, well, you know, if he hadn't have done that, I would not be so mad right now. That person made me mad, or he said this, or she said that. And we start blaming people. Or the reason the laundry's piled up is because this and this and this and this. I mean, these are just little things, but these are things that hit us every single day. He also blamed God. And how many times do we either think or hear ourselves say, how could you let this happen to me? You could have prevented this, Lord. Why are you doing this to me? And every time we have an excuse, a reason for our disobedience, every time we blame the circumstance, we blame a person, or we blame the Lord, we are not being a woman after God's own heart. We're not. It quenches his spirit. It doesn't look like him. And I don't mean for this to be a big heavy right off the first week we're back, but this is what the Lord's been speaking to me. And yes, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me and convicting me and showing me when I am not, when I am just disregarding. I need to be obedient in those little things. How can I be obedient in big things? I mean, how can he, if we disregard these little things throughout the day, and then he comes to us to tell us to do something, take a major step of faith, how in the world are we going to do that? It doesn't work that way. You know, it's those little things, just like David as a shepherd, being obedient in those little things. Now, none of us are perfect. David was not perfect. But if we make a habit, Saul made a habit. This was his pattern. All of us are going to do this. We are going, you've heard of hot flashes. We have flesh flashes all the time. And we slip back into that. But if it's a pattern. It's a pattern. We need to get out of that pattern. We need to move on and to grow. Now, God saw that David was a man after his own heart, even at such a young age. But he knew that there was a lot that he needed to work into David's life and then work out of David's life. It's a process. It is a process. So God saw him as a man after his own heart. But, you know, it tells us in Ephesians that we are seated in heavenly places. He sees us already in heavenly places. He sees us in heaven, perfect. He sees the completion. We don't at all. We don't in ourselves and we don't in other people. He does. But he knows from David to from him as a shepherd boy to him as king, all these things have to be worked out of his life and then worked in his life for him to be great, for him to use his greatness then for God's glory. David was not perfect, and we will learn that. David sinned. David fell. David made mistakes. But he didn't make excuses. And he repented. And he wanted to please the heart of God. Read the Psalms. The Psalms that were birthed from his heart and from all of his trials and his in all those things that God was working in and out of his life. You know he had a heart that wanted to please the Lord. And he wasn't perfect, but he wanted to please the Lord. It gives us hope. He gives us hope so that we don't look at him and think, oh, how can I ever be like that? It's just one step at a time. It's a process. Now, God used, when Damien did this series, oh, I just love the whole thing. And I would just rather just push play and play his series for us. But he said, and I just love this, he said, God used Saul in David's life to remove the Saul that was in David. And there is a Saul inside of every single one of us, just like there's a Pharisee inside of every one of us, because we're big sinners. So he needs to remove that from our lives. And, you know, why do we spot some sins so quickly in other people? Because we see it so clearly, because it's in us. It's in us. And sometimes when we get really upset at people that have sinned a certain way and we're harder on them, it's because we're just like that. We're just like that. Our sin always looks much worse on other people. Oh, it's just disgusting. How could you? And we just did the other day. You know, it just... So Saul began well. What went wrong? Just as the Lord knows David's heart, knew David's heart, knows our hearts, he knew Saul's heart. He's the one that anointed him king to be the first king. He saw his heart. He began well. He was a humble man. But his heart started to drift away, and the Lord also saw that. He knew that to begin with. But he knew that Saul's unwillingness to obey the command of the Lord would cost him the throne, his calling in life. And we don't want to be unwilling to obey the command of the Lord. God had given Saul everything he needed to be a successful king. to be a great king. Everything he needed. He didn't give David more. He gave Saul the same that he gave David, to rule his people and to so that they would be a godly nation. He gave that to Saul. I love this verse. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 6. When Samuel anointed Saul as king, and then he sent him away. He also gave him some instruction. And then he said, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." I love that verse in the description of what happens when the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. That we will be turned into another woman. He gave Saul his Holy Spirit, and that he would turn him into another man. So it was when he had turned back from Samuel that God gave him another heart. He gave him everything he needed. He gave him the power of the Holy Spirit to rule, to reign over his people, to be a godly influence, to do what is right, to become a great king. He gave him everything that he needed. And instead, he chose to go his own way. He did things his own way. He disregarded the voice and the command of the Lord. He quenched the Holy Spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit speaks, we can just turn that knob, turn him down, and we quench. And we quench, and we quench, and we quench. And then maybe he'll stop speaking. And with Saul, God removed his Holy Spirit from him. We're under a new covenant, and God does not remove his Holy Spirit from us. God has given us everything we need to be successful women, to be successful and great in his kingdom. Because he's given us his Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1, it tells us that we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That moment that we ask Jesus to come into our lives, the Holy Spirit comes into us, abides in us, and seals us. We are his. And then Jesus spoke to the disciples, to us, in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And we can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. He can come upon us. That's what the Lord wants for every believer. So the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. He's upon us. We have the power to be a witness. The power to be a woman after God's own heart. The power to obey. The power to say no to our flesh and yes to the Spirit. He's given us everything we need. 2 Peter tells us that by his divine power, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Every single thing. Do we realize that? Every single thing we need to be a Christian, to live this Christian life, to take this word as our standard, to obey this word, we have everything we need. Everything we need in the power of the Holy Spirit. That makes me excited. Because when the Holy Spirit indwells us and comes upon us, we're turned into another woman. We're not the same. Aren't you glad? I mean, can't you look back? You know who you were and who you are today. I mean, everything is different. The way you think is different. Your outlook on things. I mean, everything is different because of Jesus, because of that Holy Spirit that he has given us. And it's wonderful. And we don't have to stay the same. And we can become women after his heart. And just as David did, as we will be learning, we need to allow the Lord to remove what isn't like his heart in us. To take all of that soul, all of that flesh, and remove it. And just like with David, it is a process, and it is a refining process. And refining hurts. Refining is difficult. Refining means trials. It means hardships. It means heartbreak. For David, it meant rejection. It meant losing everything. It meant poverty. It meant running and hiding because Saul was going to kill him. It's not easy to be refined, but it is so good. So good. It was because of those difficult times in David's life that all those psalms came forth from him, and that he could write, "I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and so shall I be saved from my enemies." Confident in his God because of all he had gone through. So all those psalms came from the depth of his heart because of all that refining. And how would he know of the mercies and the faithfulness of God had he not gone through those? And how would we know how good God is, how faithful he is, how merciful and how gracious he is, unless we were in the depths of despair at times, clinging to the hem of his garment, receiving his grace? Then we know. And then our heart becomes more like his. There's something beautiful that happens from a life that is broken before the Lord, a life that's poured out, a life whose heart is after God's, because there's a reflection of Jesus in that life. And I thought about beautiful pearls. And you know how pearls are formed. They're formed within an oyster, and it is because a very tiny foreign object, an irritant, gets in that shell, in between the membrane and the shell. It's irritating for the oyster. And in order for it to protect itself, it produces a coating. And that coating then turns into this absolutely beautiful pearl. It takes about 3 years for a pearl to form in that oyster. And it's all because of an irritant. David waited 10 years from the time he was anointed as king until he actually sat on the throne. And those 10 years, he lived in caves and on the run. That was hard. That is very, very hard. But then he waited another 7.5 years to become king over all Israel. That's a long time. That's a lot of trials. That's a lot of heartache. And becoming a woman after God's own heart is a process. And are you willing, am I willing, as we learn from his life, are we willing to go through that process this year? There's no telling what might happen. But it's good. It is good. Because then at the end, when people look at us, we reflect Jesus. We reflect him. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. He still does. He's still looking. And don't you want him to look down upon us this year as we are in this Bible study and as we are in his word, and have him see that we are women after his own heart? And Father, that's our heart's cry and our prayer. And Lord, I know that this can be so hard to our flesh to hear. Nobody wants to go through a trial. Nobody wants to go through any kind of difficulty, Lord. Some of us have just been through enough that we think. And yet, Lord, we know. It's the only way. We know. If that irritant hadn't gone in an oyster, there would be no pearl. And Lord, we want a heart after yours. We want to be broken. We want to be poured out. We want to be that grain of wheat that falls into the ground and dies so that it can spring forth and produce fruit. So Lord, would you work these things into our lives? And would you please put a joy there in anticipation of what you're going to do in our hearts this year as we dig into David's life and we learn how he handled all these hardships. And I pray that those psalms would become our friends. And Lord, that we would just have such deep and sweet communion with you this year. And we thank you and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, tonight, of course, because we had all that introduction.